Welcome to Laugh Factory Live Podcast with Ian Ellis and Kimberly Marion. This week's guest is Brian Dobie. You can catch Brian Dobie live at the Whip Theater. He's doing an album recording April 8th and 9th. Both are at 10 p.m. That's the Black Box Comedy Presents, the Whip Theater. Call 312-692-9327 for tickets. So go support and see Brian Dobie live. You can follow me on Twitter at Chicago Open Mic. You can follow KB on Twitter at K Marion Comedy. K-M-A-R-I-O-N Comedy. Or you can follow her group, Why So Funny, at Why So Funny 1. And you can follow the Laugh Factory Chicago at Laugh Factory _ CH. Peace! Welcome to the Laugh Factory Live Podcast, hosted by Ian Ellis and
Kimberly Marion. What is good, everybody?
And today our very special guests include
Brian Dobie
and
Andrew Farrar. What's going on?
Where can they find you guys on Twitter?
And I'm Brian Dobie. That's me.
I'm on Twitter at Farrar13. It's F-A-R-A-W-R.
It sounds like you were shouting out some bro shit.
Farrar.
How many R's are in Farrar?
In the four? Actual spelling, three? There's three.
How are people going to find you if there's a controversy over the R's?
Hopefully they don't. yeah, it's a weird name. I get a lot of shit for it.
You said it was Irish, right?
It is. Yeah, there used to be a G in it.
Oh, okay. There had to be an O or a G in it for it to count. I was like, I need one of those letters.
How was there a G in Farrar?
Probably after the Farragara? To make the ah sound in there.
Something like that. I know they took it away when they left Ireland and came here.
Yeah, that happened to a lot of people.
It made it make sense. That's cool.
I have a lot of weird questions for you.
That's cool.
We're going to start by saying you have an upcoming special at the Whip Theater.
What?
April.
Right. April 8th and 9th.
April 8th and 9th?
Hell yeah, it's called Seriously Sarcastic. It's going to be pretty cool.
You're doing an hour?
I'm doing somewhere around an hour, probably like 45, 50 minutes.
Not like a year ago, because you're like a prolific dude. You did an hour at Mojo's, and I've been dying for the release of it, but you just put out like little snippets here and there. Like, are you going to release that? Is this different material?
I don't know what I'm doing with it yet. I still have it all on camera and stuff. I still got all the footage and stuff, but
If people go to YouTube, I think it's like My Daughter is a Vampire. Like, they can find clips. Or SoundCloud. Yeah. You're definitely on SoundCloud.
Yeah, you can find me on everything at I'm Brian Dobie. But I'm thinking about just putting that footage in with, like, all the stuff I'm doing this year and stuff, too. So I'm thinking about, like, releasing a DVD. It's all going to be on that, so.
So at the Whip, you're going to be filming.
Yeah.
It's not just about the audio, like.
Right, yeah, I'm doing an audio recording just for the album, but I'm also filming, too.
Are you ready for a weird question?
Yeah, man.
All right, Dobie, you're a creative dude, all right? You tattoo artist. You're painting, a painter.
Okay.
Painting art, you draw.
So I hear.
I have a painting of his in my house.
Biggie Smalls.
Mm-hmm.
Stand-up comedy. You're a creative dude.
In
you're a rapper. Producer. Music. You recently released a freestyle or a
Renaissance Negro.
Her words, not mine.
But you, I just don't even know
but
what
if you Google that on SoundCloud, that's his new single.
Renaissance Negro?
That's the name of his album, y'all.
Life of Dobie.
Life of Dobie, Renaissance Negro.
It's the name of the DVD.
I know you were just in a rap battle, but you just released a rap single. I saw it had like 800 views on Facebook. I watched it. I thought it was dope. And I want to ask you, are there lines in that rap that apply to comedy? Like when you're saying, I got into shape around these squares, are you talking about comedy?
Man, I don't even, you probably know more lines in that than I do. I just did it that one day, and I haven't really watched it
you
too
just
much.
You freestyled that shit and walked away. But
yeah, something like that. Nah, it's not about comedy. My music is separate than my comedy, so yeah, doesn't have to do with anything else. I don't even, like, I'd have to listen to it to tell you what it was about, but.
Well, in, like, the single, you were saying, like, nobody's got my back. And when I was listening to it, I was like, dude, we've been trying. Like, we've been reaching out, like, come have dinner with us. Like, are you okay? But you got these barriers. You're not trying to be close to nobody.
I wrote that shit at a certain time, I believe. And that's probably what was going on at the moment. You know what I mean? I think I wrote that shit like sometime last year. So,
Then you dropping old shit.
Yeah, man, but it's still
you're freestyling good. My 2016 feelings. With some old shit.
That's how I roll, man.
It's a profit.
We actually battle all the time, and I beat him every time.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, because I'm asleep when he does it. He's like, I wake up and he's yelling at me. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, we're battling. I'm like, okay, dude. Just leave me the fuck alone. I got to work in the morning.
It's time for my girlfriend to take her birth control. Oh. Right, that would be second weird question.
Yeah.
All right.
It made it sound like I was a female. I'm
And then we're going to attack Andrew Ferrara.
Oh, great. Can't wait.
I always have a lot of guilt about saying certain things, like, and I'm known for having some crazy Facebook posts where I'm like, you better Google me, bitch. Like, I will say some ill shit when I'm drunk and my self-esteem is low, and then the next day I delete that shit, hopefully before 6 a.m., 7 a.m., before comedians wake up, hopefully nobody screenshotted.
Nah, it's me, because I wake up at like 5 a.m., so I'll be like, what the first thing like, I do?
You better take his Lexapro.
I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about today? Like, you need to delete that shit.
Sometimes I'll go to bed on more than a bottle of booze and tweet some crazy ego shit before I go to bed, and the next day I delete it and I feel terrible. You've had some posts where you're like, I know what I want, I know where I'm going, I'm the man, I'm it.
And I said, I don't see a problem with that.
But no, but sometimes when I, no, it didn't disappear.
Okay.
I look at your things and I go like, God damn it, I love him for saying that. And if I said it the next day, I would feel guilty for saying it. I would feel like, oh, I'm being braggadocious. Like, oh.
But those are rare for
but
me.
But you mean
man.
That shit.
Hell yeah.
That's right, though. We
y'all better Google
to
him.
Sometimes you gotta pat yourself on the back, man. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, but,
no, but that's part of comedy is the humility of, like, you better not think you're shit. Because you're not shit until you're the shit. And even when you're the shit, you used to be better.
Right.
And you can get punched in the face by a 14-year-old at any time.
Why you gotta bring your kid like that?
I saw that shit today, man. Why was he in the, like, a lunch line anyway? Why was he with them kids, man?
Did Carl get in a fight with the Girl Scout?
My whole thing is like,
thinking on someone his own size.
You can always tell what level of insanity Cat Williams is by his hair. Like, if his hair is put together, you like, he doing good. He ain't doing
if
no drugs.
If 1750, it is not pimping.
But if he's shit, pimping, like, man. Straight butt weed, like, yeah. Like he need a perm, a process, a hot comb, something, some Jericho juice, something, you like, you need to get off the drugs, homie. Like, for real, I can always tell by
swings.
His hair.
He has no swings.
I need a story about what the fuck. I need the full story
if I ever
about
show
what
up
happened
in buckwheat
today.
Hair.
You didn't see that video?
I saw the video. I need to know why he was in line with a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I know that. I just thought it was hilarious because you later, like, what? That, what, is there something wrong with us? I'm like,
hey, man.
14 years old.
All right, one time you get your ass beat, okay, everybody have an off night, but you get your ass beat by a 14-year-old, you need to sit your old ass down. You sit your old 46-year-old ass down.
He stayed laying there, too,
yeah,
like.
That's what I was saying. He's laying there. He's like, what?
Sit there and sip your juice box, you 5-year-old. You just got beat up by a high schooler.
He's a tiny dude, right? He's a small dude.
He's an itty-bitty.
At least they were the same size.
Actually, the 14-year-old was bigger.
That 14-year-old's huge.
All right, did you guys know the Cat started out with Jeff Foxworthy? What are your thoughts on, like, he actually came
up
with the
blue collar? Yeah, he came up with blue collar dudes.
I did not know that.
Did they kick him off the tour?
No, he just got popped on his own shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know you're pimping when.
I didn't know that.
The vision you got.
Instead of you might be a redneck, you might be a pimp.
Yeah.
You might be a pimp when bitches pay you for the pussy.
I did not know that.
But don't you? I want to know, like, all right, so you're self-affirming. Like, I've been talking about this with a couple different people because most of my friends are rappers. And a rapper, yeah.
That's cool,
yeah,
man.
He a hip-hop head.
But, like,
yeah.
MCs, like, you know, they feel like they're the best. And even if, like, you know, you know you couldn't, you know, yeah, I can't take down Eminem. But, like, when you're on the mic, you feel like you're the best. And you're willing to defend that title. Like, you're willing to affirm that you're the best at that moment. I love that about hip-hop. And I wish it would transfer more into comedy, this idea of, like, healthy competition. Like, I want to destroy you. I want to be better. do you have some of that in you where you're like, you have this hip-hop approach, like, yo, I'm coming, you better check your neck, Dobie's in the house.
As far as, you know what I mean, like, thinking I'm the best or whatnot, like, when I'm rapping, I don't know, I just do it for me, so I don't really care, like, I'm not in competition with nobody as far as music and stuff like that. I know, like, I like to listen to everything I like to say, you know what I mean, if that makes any sense, but,
Well, my dude just said, like, any project he has two goals. Like, one is to please himself, the second is to please the audience. And he's like, I know I've done the first one. I know I'm happy with what I did. And you're saying that, like, you know that you are happy with what you're doing.
Whatever it is, but is there still that sense of competition within comedy?
Within comedy? I'm trying to destroy y'all.
Within comedy, man, I don't have that sense of competition, or not at this level, you know what I mean? Everybody, like, all I do is open mic and stuff, so...
Ooh, he's talking about your level, Andrew.
Everybody is.
What's your level, homie? Are you level two?
I know, we all trying to do the same thing, man. Right. So, ain't no competition. I want to see everybody, you know what I'm saying, be on as high of a level as possible.
But isn't that competition in and of itself? Because, like... To me, I look at it as like, dude, if Andrew hitting, then shit, I need to hit.
I want like, everyone...
I need to, like, if the crowd is rocking with Andrew, I need to hop on that and make sure that I keep that.
I want everyone going. To succeed, so it's not but necessarily like,
right. Like,
right, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate you. Be stronger. It makes me stronger.
Right. Yeah. I think that's exactly it. I think the competitiveness makes us all better. You know what I mean? If the four of us are all on the same show, and whoever goes up first crushes it, whoever goes up second, you gotta crush it, right? Third, you gotta crush it. And if you're headlining, you know, if you're last,
closing out, yeah,
you better not fucking fall on your face. You know what I mean?
I don't see it as much as competition as just like wanting to have a good show, though. You know what I mean? I mean, I thought it makes sense.
But I mean, that speaks to more to your personality. I've seen people where they don't want... Like, I worked at a bootleg comedy club. There were certain headliners who were like, I don't want somebody to come in and crush it.
Right.
Because I'm the headliner. You paying me the money. I'm going to crush it. Yeah. So I want this comic, or this comic. Because they're going to be temperate. They're going to be enough...
There was
to the point that when I get up there, I'm just going to smash through.
There was one comic that said they didn't want their opener to swear because they wanted to open that up and be better than them. They wanted to be the ones to introduce
person. I feel like that's extreme.
I figure if somebody's paying you to headline, you should be able to, I don't know, you should be on another level.
You should be
already
on a level where it don't even matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if I'm headlining, I want somebody before me to fucking crush it. You know what I mean? And I just want to ride that wave, but I'm gonna do it better than them. You know what I mean? If I'm headlining, I'm going to give it my all, you know what I mean? And I'm going to be worth the money, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I don't want anybody to not, like, live up to their full potential just because I'm headlining, you know?
I mean, if you should be following them, you're like, yo, if that's what it is, I should be following them. But I believe in this person, and I believe I could do it better.
Right. Here's what I want to know. Andrew Farrar, you're here. In Chicago, Chicagoland area.
Just
I'm saying,
here.
I guess you're here. You're here.
Just
present.
Here. That's
you're
about
present
it.
In the present time. You have not time traveled at all.
Nope.
But Dobie, you're trying to move back out to Cali?
Yeah, I am going back out to Cali one of these days. It might be tomorrow. Shit, fuck it.
Knowing how you do.
Yeah.
You like a ghost. You like...
Once I start thinking
like
about
it. Like, I talked to... One time, I had talked to Brian, and I was like, oh, yeah, for sure, da-da-da. And we had talked, and the next day, he was like, yeah, so I'm in Kansas now. I'm like, what the fuck? What? When did that happen? Because I just saw you
Dobie
yesterday.
Dobie strikes me as someone that lives off of artistic impulse. Like, I don't imagine all of those tattoos were planned. Some of them were just great ideas.
Nah,
and
I was,
you were like, we can do this shit.
Sometimes I'd be bored, man.
I've been trying to find a something for him to tattoo on me since...
Yeah, he's been talking about it for a minute.
I can't think of something. Maybe tonight we'll come up with an idea. Who
property
knows?
Of.
Yeah, but...
he should get Dobie tatted on him.
Hell no, don't do that.
He got to change his last name too, so it's not gay. It's just about him.
Change your name to Feature.
But now, have you thought about the whole move thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm from a smaller town. Like, I'm from Peoria. A lot of people know that, which is about 2 hours south of Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a mini Chicago. Like, you have Peoria, which is like its own little
city.
That's
what they say down there.
And then,
yeah.
And that's what they say. Don't get me wrong. It's a very, very scaled down version. But, right? I get it. Like, it's like one to like.
Like, it's
thousand,
a scaled
right?
down version of Aurora.
Let me say this about, let me ask this of Andrew.
Okay.
When I first met you, I thought you were going to wash out.
Okay.
I thought you were going to do this for a couple months.
Okay.
And you'd be like, I got other shit to do. And you're going to be done. Or maybe you meet a girl, get some pussy. You were out the game. Okay? Because you are great at doing real world shit. You have a grown up job.
Unfortunately,
you make
that
a
is
goddamn
true.
Man's income.
That is true.
You have gold. You're great at the shit you do. And you don't need
he's
to well-grown. Do comedy.
Good looking guy. Good looking guy, you guys.
But your shit isn't whack. Like, you still come with it. You still come for it. And I thought, like, oh, if you could have that other life, you would. But you're like, nah, I'm about this shit.
That's accurate. No, that's exactly it. Like, I mean,
you
I work
Dane
hard.
Dane Cook looking mother.
He's a
why are you funny, you piece of shit?
No, you know what's funny?
How
is that
dare you have a bigger income than me?
It's funny because, like, you mentioned that, and, like, I don't necessarily consider myself to be the best-looking guy in the world, but Jack Baker
but
and I...
compared to Jeremy Daniels, who was too afraid coward. To be on this podcast because he's afraid of Joe DeGann, who is the truth. Hashtag Joe DeGann.
Hashtag Joe DeGann. I stand with DeGann. It's Katie Mary.
I stand with DeGann.
Me too, man. This is Dobie. I'm chiming in.
Hashtag Dobie with DeGann.
DeGann is in demand.
Andrew Farrar.
I stand with DeGann. I stand with DeGann.
There it is.
But Jeremy's beautiful. It's Dobie saying that. Jeremy's a cool guy, but fucking though, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's okay. Not fit to lead, though.
Yeah.
He's not fit to lead.
He's funny, though, but...
Damn
but
funny.
You were talking about how I think you're every persona of what a hack is, but somehow you managed to be the truth.
Yeah, I mean,
what
I appreciate
the fuck?
That.
How do you do this?
I don't know. You know I think it's like...
How
I,
are you growing up and funny?
I hate to sound, like, cliche, but, like, I think it just is in my blood. Like, I grew up listening to comedy. Like, I studied it from a young age, you know? And I remember
it's
listening...
It's crazy, like, as a child, you were probably watching SNL and studying it.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That's a good joke.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, I...
High five to that, man. I did the
like,
same shit,
the
yeah.
Same, like, for real, like, you know? And I think it's just something that's always kind of, like, been...
Comedy was just in
yeah,
your blood.
Yeah, it was just in me, and then I never had the vehicle to do it, you know? Like... I always, like, had little chances here, like, talent shows and stuff
Dobie
like that.
Dobie was trying to do funny tattoos, and he's like, this probably isn't it.
I should probably just tell a joke.
This is on them forever.
I started doing tattoos when I went back to Kansas, man, because there's no comedy out there. But, man, comedy's pretty cool. I'm not much of an SNL dude, though, man. You guys mentioned that. I like Mad TV. That was my shit.
I want to know the comparison to your childhoods, because it's like you grew up studying
right.
comedy and being like, I see what comedy is.
Yeah.
I see what they did do. I see what they didn't do. But what were your moments in your shows, and what were your moments in your shows?
Oh, man.
Me and KB it was...
First?
Comic View and
Martin.
Yeah.
And Living Color.
You want to go first? You want me to?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching.
Andrew's black.
Andrew's super black.
I have definitely an urban side of me. There's no doubt about that.
He's so urban.
Right. Andrew's going to end up with a big bootied black girl.
Yeah.
When he makes it, I can see that.
I lost my virginity to a black girl, believe it or not.
That's not surprising.
We believe
at all.
It. We totally
bragging?
Believe it.
Yeah, that's exactly yeah. what I expected.
Maybe I am bragging. Who knows?
Yeah. My mom's
but,
black, so
that's why I thought you were
also
Italian.
Bragging.
But as far as like memories for me is looking back, I remember. Oh man, the first real bit. That I remember thinking like, wow, this is
brilliant.
Well,
it starts to your ribs.
Yeah, and it's maybe a little controversial these days, but it's a Bill Cosby bit.
Yes.
It is, man. And he had a bit about the invention of basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And about how James...
You're trying to shoot roofies into the cup, and you go from the three-pointer, and you miss, and you say, oh, boy, this is a foul. How do I get it into the drink? But then you...
Stop fucking with Bill. Go ahead, Andrew.
He's innocent, man. But
the bit basically just goes through like the invention of basketball, and they talked about James Naismith using the janitor of the gym, who was like a militant black man, like, you know, to help him do everything, and you know, and he goes through like telling him, all right, I'm gonna try to put this ball through this basket, and I want you to stop me, and. You know, the guy, he goes to put the ball in the basket, and the dude hits him in the face with the broom, and, like, that was the first foul, right? Yeah. Like, it's just stupid stuff like that, and it's just, yeah. I remember that sticking with me. Like you said, it just really, I could appreciate the way he crafted that joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I even as a 9-10-year-old kid, I could appreciate that.
KB and I were talking about it, like, before the podcast, like, bits that really stuck to us. Mine was, like, Dennis Leary, he did a thing about coffee, where he was like, I just want a regular coffee. No, yeah, latte, yeah. A grande, a vante, or whatever the fuck your sexual preference is.
Yeah.
Just give me a fucking coffee.
I've heard, Toby, another bit.
What is the bit that stuck to you? The first bit where you're like, you think about it all the time. To this day, like, it got you. You were like, that's a great fucking bit.
Like, I think the only bit that's, like, stuck in my mind, it wasn't, like, from my childhood or anything, though, because I didn't start getting into comedy until I was, like, 17. That's when I went to, like, my first comedy show.
I didn't start
until
I was 27, you goddamn prolific Tupac motherfucker.
Like, well, I haven't had the chance of being 27 yet. But,
just stuck
I'm old
your nose
and
you
I'm
are
dying.
So old.
No, I
hate seeing the future in front of me.
Let me see. Like, the one bit that probably comes to mind when I think about comedy is it's going to be about Chappelle. Chappelle did, there's a bit about, like, a fucking homeless guy jacking off on a bus or some shit like that,
yeah.
Holding everybody hostage.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only person who even comes to mind when I think of bits is probably Dave Chappelle. So, it's not, like, a specific thing, though. It's just... All Chappelle. Chappelle was
like, when you saw it, you were like, oh my god, that's great.
Yeah,
like,
Chappelle's
that's really, that's what it is.
Yeah. Chappelle's my guy.
Yeah. Have you ever caught yourself, like, because I remember when I first started out, like, the people who influenced me, I catch myself doing things that they did, and I was like, oh, fuck, like, I really need to break that habit. Did you ever catch yourself, like, doing Chappelle or whomever you were influenced by?
Like mannerisms or like certain
cadence,
jokes and shit, like
tonality, mannerisms, all that.
I've never thought I was, but I mean, other people have basically caught me doing it. You know what I mean? Like they say, like you sound just like Chappelle, or you just like Chappelle, shit like that. But I don't do it on purpose. You know what I mean? It's just I think we're just probably like even in person, we're probably just like the same type of guy. So
yeah.
So maybe we're just. Have the same personality. Yeah.
I was accused of Hedberg, but in my own head, I caught myself doing Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Like, I was just having fun with it. I was just having fun, and I was like, oh, I'm doing very Kevin Hart right now.
Kevin Hart and Hedberg are, like, totally different.
Well, I get it, because, like, I mumble, and I talk kind of quiet, so people think, like, I talk like Hedberg, not, like,
Naturally,
but, like, our content is nothing alike.
No,
like,
definitely not. No.
He does one-liners, I do, like, stories in my personal life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's affected my writing process, though, because I don't want to sound like a comedian, you know? I want to sound conversational, you know? And I don't want to, be, you know, have that...
I was actually just telling KB, because we had this question of, like, what was the first bit that made you feel like a comedian?
Mm-hmm.
And we can answer that. But, like, my first bit, I wrote this amazing bit as my idea of what a comedian would say. And it was so, like, free of all judgment and just, like, purely just, like, funny, like, what a comic would say. And then every bit I wrote after that was, like, I want to please a comic. I want to do the math.
I agree with that too.
And like I've been fucked up in the head since my first bit was great. Everything else has been trying to get back to that shit.
You know why? Because you gotta remember to have fun with the shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I fucked that up.
Like I still get excited over some of the shit I write. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fun performing this. Like, and I mean, yeah, it can be tiresome or whatever, but I feel like my writing, because I keep trying to develop certain skills, gets better each as I grow as a comedian. Like, I never try to relive. I'll revisit some old jokes just because I like to do them and see where I can do them now. But yeah, it should live in that moment. Like, I feel the jokes are like, you know, breadcrumbs of what you are in your life at that
for
moment.
Sure, definitely, yeah, no doubt about it. But yeah, it's interesting because, like, you talk about, you know, like, what bit made you feel like a comedian. I don't know, cause, like, it's tough, I guess. Like,
mine was that would first be time the you were like, joke. Oh, I got some kill shit.
The dolphin joke, I guess. I mean, you know that.
Well, you did that bit, and then, like, you came to the hangout, which I think is really important. Some people don't do this. But I love the hangout. And so you came to the hangout, and I was like, dude, I love that joke. And then there was, like, six of us. Oh, yeah. We just riffed on that joke for, like, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
With fucking dolphin puns and jokes about rape. And by the end of it, we're like, if this isn't your new hour, we've given you all the funny
that could exist. Gave you dolphins and rapes, motherfucker.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, also tags, like, I agree with you too on the, like, hanging out after the mic, because even if it's just one little, like, hey, maybe pause a second longer, you know, between your setup and your punchline, you know?
Well, what I loved is, like, somebody like Steve Zinsky or Jeremy Daniels, they think totally different from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would see a funny that I wouldn't go to. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, if I can incorporate that, that even makes mine more surprising when I come back to it. Yep. Like, it's great. I got somebody else's, like, totally different, you know, view of how to get to the funny.
Yeah. Toby, do you take, like, suggestions or tags or anything like that?
I was actually just thinking about
Fuck
that.
No.
I mean, I receive a lot of them. Yeah. I mean, every comedian gets, like,
I mean, literally, they send them to my P.O. box.
Dude, that actually had to happen.
I think every comedian, like, after a mic, probably gets, like, suggestions and shit. But I don't think I've ever performed, like, even a good one. Like, I'm not going to perform it because I didn't think of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just how I am. I don't know. Like,
I totally get where you're coming from. I've had some good... I've actually recently was like, let me be open to trying somebody else's tag that they gave me.
And then
I did it, and I was like, no.
I think I recently, just now, like, snob. Not too long ago.
I am a snob about that, yeah.
I've performed a tag, actually. I think Farrar actually gave it to me. It's about, like, a domestic violence joke.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, like, saying, like, it's not much of a tag,
but... the white boy from Peoria with no domestic violence.
About I chose not to wear my wife beater today.
I chose not to beat my wife today.
Right.
No, not much of a tag, but just, like, a different way of saying some shit. Like, instead of saying beating somebody, just hit, you know what I mean? But that's the first thing I've ever, like, actually... taken and changed, and it actually worked.
It's because I'm a funny motherfucker.
Let me ask you guys about a weird thing. So, tomorrow me and KB are doing a show. We gotta do clean sets.
Oof.
And,
that's not that hard. That's not that bad.
I had this joke about my grandmother driving me to school as a little kid, and she got diarrhea, and she shit herself on the way.
Okay, you can say pooped.
She pooped. Well, I don't want to say that, like, the original punchline is, like, I didn't want her to come in to use the bathroom because I didn't want people to know I had a shitty grandma. But I'm like, for the clean show, can I say I didn't want them to know I had a grandma that stinks? But for me, it feels more harsh to say my grandma stinks because I don't feel like she stinks. I love her.
Is this Nana?
Yeah, this is Nana. I love Nana.
Love Nana.
Yes.
I don't want to say that she stinks. That hurts me more. But to say shitty grandma... works is just funny. I'm in a weird moral conundrum about this joke.
So my joke about my grandma shitting.
How do I phrase that?
Moral conundrum.
Crappy.
Yeah, I guess
this is the only good way to change. This is your
I don't
your Sisyphus riddle.
I don't think there's any other option except for crappy.
Yeah.
To make it like the same joke.
Because poopy sounds too childish.
I didn't
want
to think
childish.
I have a crappy grandma.
I love poopy.
I have a crappy grandma.
I like poopy too, but I think for this crowd, well, I don't know, Wisconsinites might actually like poopy.
But that was like a poopy grandma. I don't
know.
Yeah. It feels too much like a toddler to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A more that's sophisticated than that.
I know toddlers who say shitty.
But I don't want
that's
to
say. That's a little hood toddler. On the other side of Peoria.
Oh, Brian, you still telling them shitty jokes, man? Ain't you seven? Is seven a toddler? No, it's like four, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know old toddlers. I know 12-year-old toddlers.
Go get your shoes out of your cubby and go home. We don't want your
cubby.
You're fucking fifth grade.
Your poopy grandma's here to pick you up in your shoes.
Shit.
It's crazy to be... to have to be clean. What is Dobie, what was your first bit that made you feel like a comedian?
My first bit that made me feel like a comedian?
Where you were like, I got some shit.
Man, I don't know if it was a bit. I think my first set, like,
and don't
I
do
like,
this
motherfucker.
Wait, no, don't, saying, like, don't do this Chicago fake humble horse shit where you're like, I don't want to talk about how I got some great shit, because we've already established from your Facebook you feel like you got some great shit. What was the first one where you're like, I got some fire? That's some real shit.
I think, man, it's not a specific bit or anything, but like just more on like crowd reactions,
yeah,
man. Like
don't,
my first,
don't let him 50 cent out of this.
That's the nipple song.
No.
My first open mic, man. Like,
cause I know exactly what he's gonna say.
Like my first open mic, like just the fact that I got like I was nervous when I did like my first open mic, but there's like
when I went to my first show and my 13 inch penis got hard standing up.
I talked about how big my dick was at
that
my first
crowd
night,
of
man.
People who couldn't have cried but, harder. I felt like I had something.
All right, so, but what did you get out of it? Like, how did you have, what did it make you feel like a comedian?
Yo, it was that, like, there's a bunch of people who were there that have been doing it for a long time, and I was totally better than them. That's when I felt like
that's
I could do it.
That's what Jerry Seinfeld said, and I hated him for saying it, because he was like, I wanted to be a comedian, and he did it for the first time, and he's like, well, now I can consider myself a comedian. And I'm like, no, you can't.
No,
now you gotta get good, you piece of shit.
No, you know what, though? That's interesting that you say that, because I'll never forget the first time I ever met you, Ian, was at the Comedy Shrine. And no, this is a good story.
Wait, is this ego?
No, it's a good story. No, I don't mean to like say Ian, like accusatory, but like...
No, do it.
We were the first two at the Comedy Shrine. I'll never forget it, for the open mic. And Ian was sitting at the table writing his jokes, and like I was just kind of standing there not knowing what the fuck to do, right? Like just hanging out. And Ian approached me and he said, are you a comedian? And I was like, well, I mean, like tonight would be my first time. And he was like, then you're a comedian, man. And he invited me to come sit with him. So I don't know if you agree with yourself when you say that.
What?
You're like Jeremy Daniel changing your stance in the middle of a campaign.
Flip-flopper.
Uh-oh. I wouldn't vote for him.
I'm only... a civilian, but I remember the first time seeing you in Mojo's, when you performed the first time, and everyone literally in the crowd was like, the fuck just happened? Like, we all were like, this guy we never heard of, because usually it's the first time, everyone's like, oh, okay.
Right. She's talking about Brian, not Ian, by the
yeah.
way.
First time I saw Ian, I was like, because he was also very misogynistic when I first met him.
Right.
But anyway, we've all first saw Brian
like, hey,
Dobie.
Babe,
I remember the first time you were there.
Hey, babe.
And I was,
hey, babe, for a date, come to our set. So, bitches, don't be getting my dinner fast enough.
Right.
These hoes.
Here's my tangent.
Am I right, fellas?
Here's my tangent. Before we went on our first date, he goes, here's my set. See if you still want to go on a date with me. And I go, I don't really feel, I don't plan on dating anybody. So, sure, why not? I didn't give a shit. I didn't want to date anybody. So I was like, all right, whatever.
See, women's lows can be low enough for you to
it
be
wasn't
a
low.
Comedian.
I just didn't give
to set your
shit.
Standards aside.
I don't want to date you.
I'll say this much, though. Like, actually, after the first time I did it, I was like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because,
I agree
like,
with that
I had, I had, I had set it up to where I didn't want anybody that I knew in the crowd. I didn't say that I was a first-time comedian. I wanted to a crowd's honest reaction of this shit, because if I sucked, I wasn't doing it again.
See, that's...
And I didn't suck.
That's part of the reason I didn't try it until I moved up here to Chicago.
Did you guys have that thing Chappelle had of, like, I'm bombing, it's not that bad?
No, Not at all.
I mean, like, I still want to do this.
I didn't bomb for a while, man.
My first set. I'm just saying. Yourself. Go
ahead. Take a knife and stab in your throat.
By the time I bombed, I was like, this isn't...
What are you, Jeremy Daniels?
Yeah. Hey, man.
My first set was horrible.
No, well, hey, man, all right, so how long...
Sorry to talk over you, but, like, I'm going to do it. I don't care how...
Sorry, but fuck you.
That's my love life.
It's true.
So
I have no wine left.
Well, give me some.
This is so, but mixed about drink. The whole bombing thing. You get to a point where you're like, fuck it, right?
Oh yeah,
like right, whatever, right? But there still is a little piece of me even now where I'm like, there's still a little piece of like. I know what I gotta fix some shit.
Pull your head out of your ass.
Yeah, like, because, like, if you get, I feel like some people get too comfortable with bombing.
And
like,
do you know what I'm talking about? The
yeah, and they bomb all the time. They're like, nah, fuck it.
Start blaming the crowd.
Yeah, start blaming the crowd. Or, like,
hey, motherfucker, write some new jokes.
Yeah.
Dolby, I want to know this evolution from, like, you started out hot, and so you probably were very prolific. Particularly in the beginning, because it was like, I got this. And you just started smashing and smashing and smashing. And then how long was it before you hit a wall and you were like, oh, wait, this isn't just fucking around. I got to work at this a little bit. And then what was that realization between like, yo, I got this, and like, this is actually a trade craft?
Man, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but
but I'm still creating that hot shit. Yeah.
Nah, man, I'm from Kansas, so there's really not too many mics out there, you know what I mean? So, actually, I did pretty good, man. I've been pretty good for, I don't know what I'm saying right now, but, like, I recorded my first couple open mics, and I ended up, after, like, my second open mic ever, I ended up, like, getting invited out to California for the American Black Film Festival, like, comedy competition at, was the Comedy Store.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, man, I don't, but the time I realized that it was, I kind of got to work at it, man, I don't know, I think I've been thinking that since, like, since the beginning, you know what I mean? I took it serious since the first part. I know it's not as easy as
it
looks.
So it was never, like, a wake-up call to you, where you're like, this isn't just fun. It is a little bit of craft.
Oh, yeah, well... It's never really a wake-up call. I think I knew from the beginning that it was a craft. You know what I mean? I know it's not easy, and I know you got to work at it.
Can you talk to me about, like, as a rapper, you know, it's like crap 16 bars, chorus, whatever. There's a structure to it. How did that mindset come to you in comedy where you're like, oh, set up, punchline? Like, how did it start mathematically coming? Or does it? Or is it just, like, all natural? Like, I'm just going to go with what's funny and
no, it's just not structured off anything compared to my music and everything. I mean, I live in two different worlds as far as that goes. I mean, when it's comedy, it's just it's just natural. You know what I mean? It's just like how I am as a regular person. You know what I mean? How I would talk normally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
but you have bits that are fucking brilliant. Like, about like racism and traffic. I was like, God damn it, if Chris Rock said that. I was like, that is Chris Rock level fucking...
If Chris Rock said that,
that dude's a fucking genius. Like, don't be a fucking genius on this shit. There was no, like, yo, this is the structure to make some dope shit. You're just like, you're freestyling the whole thing? Or,
yeah,
like,
it's not a little structure.
Bit of, like, what are your standards for as you create your bits?
It's not... I mean, if you have a structured way to write, then it's not natural. It's not going to be good enough. You know what I mean? Everything
you
has to
that,
be...
You hear that, Jeremy Daniels?
Yeah, man. I try to do everything the opposite of the way Jeremy would do it. That's why I'm
he's
funny.
A bastard and he's not funny. Yeah. We all hate him.
He's funny, but I can't take him seriously as a politician.
Yeah. I heard he hates... black people and loves Trump.
Hashtag Joe DeGann.
Hashtag Joe DeGann. Hashtag I stand with DeGann.
Jeremy Daniels harasses little black kids at Aldi's.
Yeah.
It's proven. It's a fact.
And it's to the core.
That's how we met, actually. I was at Aldi's.
He's also a pedophile.
But he's a good comedian. Oh, he's very funny.
That's not true at all. We love you, Jeremy Daniels, but I stand with DeGann.
Yeah. Hashtag
Black Fist in Air.
DeGann's the man.
Against the man.
Do you feel like you have to be tortured to be funny?
You gotta understand.
I think so, to a degree.
You have to be
I don't know if you're asking me.
Like, as far as life goes?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Farrar. I'll let Farrar.
No, I don't think you have. I don't think you have to be tortured, but I don't think somebody. Like, I didn't live a hard life. Like, I had a pretty decent life growing up, right? Like, I didn't...
Nah, dude, you look like you stab people for for breast milk.
But I mean, like... Give me your titty milk. Give it to me. But, like, I don't think...
You've been banging since you were a fetus.
But I definitely think that there's got to be something in you to make you seek the approval of strangers.
Let me ask you about this, because this happened to me. I just went to a show... And I talked about how my father was dying. And a bunch of comics were there that are my friends. And then, like, afterwards, I want to hang out with all those comics. And they were all, like, they all bombed. And they wanted to go to another mic because they wanted to get another mic in. And I was like, why does another mic matter? I was like, come hang out with me as a person. But they were like, no, the funny is what matters. I can't remember where I was going with
that. Why? Because you're all in your feelings.
I'm all in my feelings.
Do you guys find any purpose in the hangout?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, after a show
definitely.
Or after...
Definitely. Because even if, like Brian was
are
talking
about... Are
comedians
real friends? Or are they just comedy friends?
No, definitely. I mean, I think I distinguish my comedy friends from, like, the people I grew up with. Like, you know, If I'm describing, like, a conversation that Brian and I had to somebody I went to high school with, I'm going to say, yeah, one of my comedian friends. You know, I'm not going to say Brian, because they're not going to know, you know. So, I think your comedian friends are your friends, though. There's no doubt about it.
I think my comedian friends are my best friends, man. It's,
Shut up, Dolby, mister. I won't be friends with anybody.
No, I'm a real antisocial person, man. But from back home, I lived in Kansas for, like, basically most of my life. And I have maybe two or three, like... good friends that I would actually hang out with. As far as comedians, since I've been in Chicago, which hasn't been that long, like, everybody pretty much I'd hang out with on a regular basis. I mean, we have same, like, mindset and same goals and shit.
Let me say what my ego felt like. It was like, I was like, Brian, yo, I'm reaching out to you. And I was like, is my material not good enough?
What was
like,
this?
So is it the material, or is it, like, how many times I've seen you and hung out with you? Because I was like, my material's not funny
enough.
He's having
relationship issues with you, Brian. Apparently.
No, I was like, Brian, am I not dumb enough to be your friend? I'll fight your hour. I'll fight you.
When did you reach out, man?
When I was like, hey, man, like, we need to hang out. Like, you do art, we do comedy. Like, yo.
That's just probably because I'm busy sometimes, man. You know what I mean? After that, I probably ended up in California or something. But, yeah, it's, I hang out with everybody, man. I'm on the move a lot. You know what I mean? So, you know, don't take it too hard.
Well, is your relationship repaired now? Are you okay? Are you good
now? I mean, Dobie's going to be Dobie. I feel like he's on his own island. And I'm just going to always say I knew him. We weren't close. We didn't shake up like that. But I knew him. He was cool. He was cool. He came through.
I think I'm the same with everybody, man. It's just the way I am. I've learned to...
What's your zodiac
kind
sign?
Of be, I'm a Leo.
You're a Leo?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
That's the
sign I'm looking for.
Yeah. I learned to just, you know what I'm saying, be happy with, you know what I'm saying, just myself and shit. You know, I've been a loner for a while, you know what I mean? I hang out with people, but then again, I'm cool with myself, you know?
That was awkward. Dear God, are we done with therapy sessions?
No, I had a good question. I forgot it.
No. I love you, Ian. Man, we're cool.
No.
I guess hugging out right now. Give each other a hug.
Then I'm going to see it on the podcast.
Hug it out in podcast. Have a little Wayne and baby moment.
It just happened.
Now have a little Wayne and baby moment.
Ooh, kiss each other on the lips right now.
You guys can't see this going on, but we are hugging the shit out of each other.
I'm talking funny.
Ian grabbed his dick. What?
Seinfeld had this question of, do you remember the first time you met another funny kid?
A kid? Did it have to be a kid?
Yeah.
Are you such a natural? I do.
I remember that.
What is it?
Sixth grade, man. There was this kid named Miles. I'll never... And he
was mean on the trumpet.
You know what's funny? He fucking played trumpet.
He was just hanging in the bushes.
But this kid, man, I remember this kid forever. Because he was... like you said, he was one of the first funny people that I met that made me laugh. And he, I don't know why he did it or what possessed him to do it, but he would do this little voice and he would be like, "Hey guys, what are you doing?" And it was like a bad Cartman impression.
He was retarded.
He rides the little bus too. He's in a trailer in the back.
He skateboarded, so he must have been some kind of coordinated. Back in the day. Yeah. But I just remember him doing this stupid, it was like I said, it was like a bad Cartman impression from South Park, and it just made everybody in the whole class laugh. For whatever reason. And he'd be like, "What's up, dog?" And he would say just the most random shit. But you say, like, the first person where I was like, "Man, that kid's, he's funny."
That's another one.
You know what I mean? Like,
he's like me.
Yeah, you know? And I would, like, it's just, I would make bad jokes in class and people would be like, give me weird looks. Because I think it was because, like I said, I kind of studied it as a kid. So I understood, like, irony and stuff like that a little.
You saw a structure to funny.
Right, exactly. So, like, I would make jokes that people wouldn't get in 5th and 6th grade. You know? But what about you? What do you think?
What was the question?
Like a kid that was funny. Like, you're growing up, and you're like, dude, this kid's fucking funny, dude. Like,
I don't know if I just have, like, a really bad memory, but every person that I've met that's funny is going to be super recent, like, within the last couple years. You know what I mean? So people my age.
When I grew up, it was like everybody around me was funny. But like, I only knew funny people, and like, I'm not as funny as my friends that don't want to be comics. Like, my dude, rapper is way funnier than me. You don't give a shit about comedy. But he's, I compete with them, and I try to bring that flavor to my comedy, but it's like, my friends are way funnier than me.
I might have just hung out with a lot of lame people when I was younger. Yeah, I don't remember anybody.
Daniels and
the funniest people I've met, honestly, like I said, it's going to be like really current, like people I can just talk to and just fucking die laughing. It's going to be my dad, and I just met him like last week. It's been a few years, but no, him. Cameron Richard is hilarious. It's actually like a lot of comedians from like the Chicago suburbs. But before I started doing comedy and shit, like, not too many people. Like, the one person in Kansas, where I'm from, is going to be Luis Powell. But that's it, man. That's it. Not too many people.
Weird.
You guys have been in different circumstances where you meet comics at different levels. What has it been like, your experience being like a comic at a feature level? Like the conversation in the green room, what is the difference in that conversation from the open mic?
I've never been in a green room with anybody famous, man. I've been judged by like some people on another level.
Yeah.
But my conversation is pretty basic, you know what I mean? I'm not like the type of dude who gets, I know a lot of people might try to get like advice from like headlining comics or like more famous people and shit, but I'm just the type of guy to just say what's up and just keep it moving.
Yeah, I think that like one of the biggest things is that I don't like taking advice. I think like the experience is the biggest advice you can get, because everybody's style is different, especially when you define your own voice and all that type of shit, like you know. But is there any are there any comedians that you're like, fuck, man, like, if I could get to that, I'm good, like, and there's, it doesn't even have to be,
for sure. I mean, yeah, you're looking at, yeah, yeah, I mean, if you're asking me, I mean, there's quite a few, really. I mean, like, one of my favorites is John Caparulo.
Okay,
a lot of people don't even know who he is, but that guy will tear a house down.
Yeah.
Like nobody's business.
And he was on Chelsea Lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where he like kind of got his jump, right?
And, yeah.
You know, yeah. And he's a funny motherfucker, man. And I relate to a lot like him. And like we were talking earlier about like people that you find yourself like falling into, like their kind of method of speech or their jokes or whatever, you know. And that's one guy, like, I wouldn't want to copy him, but if I could, like, if I can do a good enough job to make it believable like he does, then I've done a good job.
Yeah.
Because he's good. I mean, Bill Burr's another one. He's real hot right now. Everybody loves Bill Burr. There's, you know.
His comedy is so hard to do, I feel like.
Burr?
Yeah, in some regards, I feel like Bill Burr is hard to do, because I remember we were talking about this one time where a lot of times he gets the crowd on the defense and then he brings them.
He does, yeah.
You know, just like Patrice O'Neal would do that, mm-hmm. like, all right, I'm going to offend you, and then I'm going to make you think.
And I'm going to show you why I'm right.
I'm going to show you why I'm right. I'm going to show you why this is funny.
I'm going to show you why I'm not just being an asshole.
I feel like Bill Burr's point of view is, do you know why the universe is fucking me? Anybody else feel like the universe is fucking me right now?
Yeah.
With this traffic, with this goddamn grocery list, with this
idiot
in front of me.
But I mean, I mean, who do you like? Who is your, like, if you could open for anybody?
Wait, this is one of my favorite questions. Who's your top five?
Top five? Oh man, it's probably not going to be accurate just off the top of my head.
Does it have to be in a specific?
It has been argued that this list can be completely black.
I'm gonna think of somebody later, and I'm gonna be mad that I didn't put him in here. But it's gonna be Dave Chappelle.
Remember Doug Stanhope.
No certain order. Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, Louis C.K., Caparulo, John Caparulo, and the fifth one. It's gonna be about 20 people. But, Chris Rock. Chris Rock is a hilarious.
Oh man, my top five. Let's see. Again, in no specific order because. Like, it varies from bit to bit, you know? So, Bill Burr, Richard Pryor, John Caparulo. Oh, my gosh.
Brian Dobie.
I hate black comedians.
You already put Pryor on there.
That's all right. He's from Peoria.
He's
That's
from
the only
Peoria.
Reason.
You got to. You got to put St. Genesis on there, too, then.
He's from East Peoria. It's okay. That's, which is even worse, actually. That's where I'm from, technically. Gosh. So I got Bill Burr, John Caparulo, Richard Pryor. Man, who else do I like really a lot? Patrice O'Neal.
Oh, yeah.
You just had the internet.
You're just trying to please me.
Starting to rethink my
That
list
comes
now.
After we press the record button. Right? last but not least, by any means,
Joe DeGann.
Joe DeGann. Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Way better
Joe
than that hack, Jeremy Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, to put a top five together is tough, man. It's like...
He looks like a hobbit. There's probably sequels. Daniels. I'm done with them.
I think number five would have to be probably Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Bill Burr.
People say he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT.
You know what's crazy about him? To me, like, what's crazy about Chappelle is he doesn't have a lot of specials.
No.
No.
Like, he's so fucking iconic that, like... You know, what does he have? Two specials?
Two Showtimes and
HBO. He might have three.
He has three specials.
And I know, real quick, I know I said no specific order, but number one is, like, in specific order, Dave Chappelle. I just want to say that.
But Dave Chappelle that speaks to you?
What? Because he's just, like, a cool dude. He's just himself. What? It's just him being him, and it's hilarious. You know what I mean?
To me, it's like he's telling the truth in a smooth way.
I agree.
He's a smooth criminal.
He's not trying to tell jokes.
I described Dan Brennan, where, like, he'll sneak in some...
He's telling jokes, but he's not telling jokes.
He's not trying to tell jokes. Yeah. He's just saying the shit that he'll probably say on
the normal. He'll sneak in some
social
commentary, but it's in a smooth way, where it's like, you can laugh at it or not laugh at it, but we're going on to the next thing. But it's there.
Then Farrar mentioned Patrice O'Neal. That's why I didn't want to do, like, a top five, because Patrice O'Neal, he would be in there, too. I mean, he's fucking... He does some shit that nobody could ever do.
Oh, absolutely.
For me, he's top one, two, and three.
He's amazing. Yeah, nobody can do that except for him. You know
what I
mean?
And a lot of people have tried.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people try and fail.
My favorite.
She's talking about me.
My favorite Patrice O'Neal bit is the one, I don't even know if it's a bit. That's the great thing about Patrice is that you couldn't tell if it was just riffed, if it was just crowd work, or if it was a, you know.
Seamless,
right?
Yeah.
And the one where he was like, I ain't afraid of no black bitch attitude either. Like, calling the girl out in the crowd, like, I'm not scared of you. Like, you know, I hunt what I know how to catch.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great tag, man.
Never forget you needed a job.
Yeah, I don't
you were
think
a
I could...
fish that jumped back on the boat.
I don't think I could pick a specific joke from Patrice to be like his top joke. I think anything like a whole special from Patrice is just fucking amazing.
You know what I even love more than a special from Patrice is special up in the room. It's probably one of the best specials I've ever seen. But
that'll make you get a Holy Ghost. Yeah. You know?
his interviews are fucking hilarious too. Like I've never seen somebody interview and be so blatantly like, nah, I don't give a fuck what you think. Like, this is what I think. And then he'll add something that's so fucking hilarious, you know. And what I like is when he like interviews with like
Fox News. Yeah, and like all
Fox
that
News
shit.
And all like, that shit. And they get so agitated because they're like, this fucking asshole.
And they want to say the N-word so bad. Yeah. They want to say it so bad. Yeah. You can tell just like it's on the back of their teeth, you know what I mean? Like, they want to say it so bad, but they invited them on so they can't even get mad.
Yeah, they can't even get mad because they didn't put them on and shit. Like.
Because it giving me multiple points to edit. KB, take over.
I did for a while, actually. No, Andrew, here's one of the things. I'm in the process of quitting my job.
Okay.
Do you hope to get to that point of where you're like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm done with the day job.
Here's the conflict I've had.
You're just going to interrupt my question, but that's cool. Well,
for a long time, I felt like I'll make it, and then I'll have my wife, my kids, whatever. But then I got to the point where I was like, I'm getting old. I might not make it anytime soon. Yeah.
Hey!
So I shouldn't miss out.
Hey. I'm older than he is.
I shouldn't miss out on the wife and the kids because I haven't made it yet.
Fuck that.
Which was like a transition, so but it's like you're toward making it. So where are your priorities in terms of like making it in comedy and like real life happiness and like regular happiness?
I've always said, even from my first set, I don't need to be the next Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, like
Jeff Foxworthy.
Right, I don't need to be some billion-dollar comedian touring, selling out theaters. Like it's cool. I like going out to a small crowd of 20 people and making them laugh. Mm-hmm. But that being said, if somebody said, "Hey, I'm going on tour. I'm gonna do 20 cities in 30 days. You trying to come with me?" I'm not gonna tell them no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So. I love doing comedy, and it's amazing, and it's introduced me to some of the coolest people I've ever met, and it's opened me up to, like, parts of myself that I didn't know were there, you know? But is the end-all, be-all goal to be the next fucking Kevin Hart whatever, you know, selling out Madison Square Garden? Not necessarily, man. I just like making people laugh and having a good time with it, and whatever comes with that is all gravy from there.
Nev, what about you, Dobie? Like, what is the...
Where are your goals at?
Yeah.
What's the end
as far as comedy?
Well, yeah, as a kid, right?
I just want to be able to make a living doing comedy. I would love... I'm not going to lie. I would love to be able to sell out, like, Madison Square Garden. I would love to be on that level. But I would honestly be happy with, being a struggling comedian. As long as I'm, like, a touring comedian, you know, hitting every state and everything like that. If I could make enough money just to do that and survive off of it, I'm fine with that.
If your other creative interests hit, would you be willing to give up on comedy?
Nah.
It's like, yo, my rap is hitting.
No. I would probably use that money if I was getting paid from something else to fund like some comedy ventures, you know what I mean? It's nothing gives you the feeling as far as that goes. Comedy's like a one of a kind thing. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's crazy how comedy when it latches onto you, and you're like, oh man, I never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that, oh, this is the path I'm going on. I was supposed to be a PhD. I was supposed to be a professor. All that bullshit. And now I'm like, ah, fuck that shit. I got jokes about pussy to write. Like,
is it the instant gratification that fulfills you as a creative?
I think what I think is interesting is like being the sole person talking in a room. Right, and trying to captivate that audience, man.
So Dolby does all this other stuff. What other stuff do you do?
You're looking at it, man. I fucking sit around
selling cars.
I work. You know, I try to. I have a day job. I sell cars for a living, and it's, you know, it's decent. It's a good way to, you know,
Well, Dobie, how do you feel about this?
I gotta ask him this. Once again, sorry to interrupt, but but fuck you. But do you ever find yourself doing, like, joking and doing a little bit of stand-up with the people you're trying to sell with? Or is it like, I'm just trying to get my commission?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, you got to kind of feel out the conversation. If I feel like, you know, being in the job that I'm in, I work at, you know, a high-end dealership, and I don't say that to pat myself on the back, but...
These little young motherfuckers real quick. No, I'm just
playing. But that's the thing, is, like, all the clientele that I work with are, like, older people.
Yeah.
So they're not trying to joke around with you, right? Yeah. Like, they're trying to fucking get their business done and move on with their life. So if I see an opportunity to throw a joke in or, you know, make somebody feel like an asshole and not, you know, and kind of get away with it, yeah, I'll do it all day long. But the opportunities that I get are limited, you know? So I really got to feel somebody out before I can throw some, you know, throw a joke out there or whatever.
So, Dobie.
Like this table.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, I'm...
You can thank IKEA for that. Thank you.
If y'all didn't hear that, Dobie just whispered, I like this table.